Welcome to Nightchild Talks Prince, uncut and unscripted. So welcome back to Nightchild Talks Prince, uncut. And remember, if you could describe it, it ain't funky. Now, we've got three or four things going on in the Prince world. I want to get to today, a variety of different topics. We're going to kick off with quite a strange story. Now, this is only just kind of broken last night. I think it's been going on in the background for a while, but we didn't know, or we still don't know a lot of the details. But basically, Vanessa Bartholomew, who runs the Peace Love Prince channel on YouTube. She's a very well-known Prince YouTuber. I've watched her for many years. Always been incredibly sweet to me. She, provides some amazing resources on Prince. Now, for a while now, she's been looking into the Prince estate and researching, and you know, you see lots of documents. She's gone into it in quite a lot of detail. And it came out last night that Londell Macmillan of the Prince estate is apparently suing her. Now, like I said, this is very early days. We don't know the ins and outs. Vanessa says that she will do a video soon, so on her Peace Love channel, so people will be able to see that and understand the situation. Currently, a GoFundMe has been set up for her legal defense. We don't know the ins and outs. We don't know exactly what Londell is suing for. It's clear there's some things that Vanessa has said that he objects to, but we really do await further information. So obviously I can't talk much about the legal thing because we don't know the ins and outs. Vanessa's going to make that clear, and you know, that's important that it comes from her. I will say, on a kind of what I call a macro level, obviously it doesn't look great. I mean, Londell obviously is a millionaire lawyer at the heart of the Prince estate. And ultimately, he's suing, you know, a Prince fan. He's suing a Prince YouTuber. We could argue, you know, this. I can't see how this is about the money. Londell has a lot of money. And as far as I know, Peace Love doesn't have huge amounts of money. Some have suggested perhaps it is a way of, how shall I put this delicately? It's the lawyer's fees that kill you in these situations. It's the lawyer's fees that cause the issues, if you like, because, you know, keeping going and keeping to be able to afford a solicitor and a lawyer, sorry, in America, is, you know, the legal fees are what kill you. So I don't know if this is something specific he's objected to. I don't know if it's just the research into the estate. I don't know if it's a particular comment or what it is. So it'll be very interesting to see. Anyway, like I said, this is only just really broken. I just wanted to kind of mention it, but it's obviously not a good look. I mean, obviously, I presume, again, I don't know, you know, this is very, very early days, I don't know, but I presume Londell is suing in a kind of personal capacity. He's not suing as the Prince estate, but as Londell. It's going to be really interesting to see, because obviously in America, you have a very strong First Amendment right, but I presume he's, I don't know if he wants, you know, if this is a libel action or if he wants Vanessa Bartholomew to not talk about the estate. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know what's going on, but it's certainly perhaps worth, when the video comes out, you know, definitely worth seeing what she has to say and what the situation is, because apparently this has been rumbling on in the background and a lot of people, I think Vanessa was trying to deal with it on her own. But anyway, like I say, it's yet another kind of legal dispute within the estate. Now, the estate, obviously, as we know, historically have spent £45 million on lawyers. There's Londell and Charles Spicer now largely at the front seats, as it were, of directing the estate. And so this is really interesting. And, you know, it's obviously, it's something that can take a real toll on someone getting threatened with lawsuits and to deal with that stress and that. So obviously it's something we'll keep an eye on, and we'll see what happens and exactly what the nature of the lawsuit is that's being made by Londell. Secondly, I also wanted to bring to attention that this is rather a change of pace, but there's a German Blu-ray, okay, of Princess Purple Rain that has appeared on Amazon as a pre-listing. And we don't know what's going on. It's a, basically it's a Blu-ray, a kind of, you know, high definition version of Purple Rain, listed for a release date of the 13th of June, 2024. But the artwork that is on Amazon is, shall we say, weird. I mean, it's the Purple Rain cover of the film, but it's changed, it's different. We don't know whether AI has been used or what, but how shall I put this? It's not Apollonia. Apollonia on the stairs isn't Apollonia. You zoom in and it's just not Apollonia. I don't know how else to put it. It's really weird. The smoke around the bike is different. It's like someone sort of altered it, but I don't know why or how, or if it's just an AI thing or what. But yeah, you zoom in and it's not Apollonia. If you go on to X, formerly known as Twitter, you've got Bert C, who is at Mr. Bear. That's Mr. B-E-R-R-E. And he's posted a couple of pictures of that. And it's also on the German Amazon site. Really interesting. I'll put the link underneath this podcast. But yeah, zoom into Apollonia's face and you'll see exactly what we mean. So, but, you know, we don't know if this is anything particularly new. It's got the same features by the look of it as previously released sets. So we don't know if this is just sort of cashing in on the 40th anniversary of Purple Rain or if there's something actually new coming. So we'll keep an eye on that. The one other thing I wanted to say now, the third thing is, how should I put this delicately? Stand Wars. Stand Wars drive me insane. It kicked off again this week online between the Prince community and this time it was the Michael Jackson community. And it drives me spare. Because, first of all, we're all on here to talk about what we love. There's no need for anyone to kind of denigrate another artist or anything like that. It's, I never understand the kind of rivalry on so many levels. First of all, because I don't think, you know, necessarily they're the most comparable artists. I think their influences are quite different. They're quite different in a number of ways, both very, very good at what they did, but they did very different things. And Prince's influences and Michael Jackson's influences are quite different. But also it's this kind of almost lazy stirring up of the pot, this my artist must be better than your artist, and you must like my artist. And it's just, I've always believed, love what you love, dig what you dig, enjoy what you enjoy. If it brings you pleasure and it's not harming anyone, then fantastic. So there's no need to put down the joy that another man found, as Prince once said. It's something that I never understand, and there's a lot of antagonism. And instead of talking about what people love, sometimes people get caught up in these stand wars and it's kind of denigrating the other artists or making accusations or trying to drag the other artist into the mud or trying to dwell on sort of, you know, alleged scandals or this or that. It's just, I don't understand the kind of, part of it is social media. Social media, it is very much that kind of toxic atmosphere sometimes. But also it's the kind of top trumps, as I call it. The top trumps is a game. I don't know if you had it in America. We had it in UK where you had cards and, you know, it could be about Star Trek. It could be about dinosaurs or whatever. And you chose certain categories and you sort of said, my dinosaur is bigger than your dinosaur and I've got, mine weighs this much, I win. Or my dinosaur is, you know, I'm going to do it on length and my dinosaur is longer. And it's all about having the best figures. And there's a lot of that in some communities where it's like, our artist sold more than your artist, our artist streams more than your artist, our artist has made more money than your artist, therefore they're better. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if Prince sold one album in his lifetime, he'd still be the greatest artist for me. You know, he's the one that I enjoy the most. And it's not about sales. When you listen to a piece of music, You don't say, well, I don't know if I like this. I have to find out how many it's sold. And if it's sold a lot, then I'll like it. And if it hasn't sold many, well, I can't like it. Of course not. You feel music. It's emotional. It's in your heart. So it's not about sales. It never was about sales. You don't allow sales to tell you what you like or don't like. If you do allow sales to tell you what you like, you're basically letting other people tell you what you enjoy. You're saying to other people, you decide what I enjoy, you decide what's popular, and you decide the music that speaks to me. And it's crazy, you know, and I just desperately want people to celebrate what they love, enjoy what they love. And there's no need to kind of, you know, have a go at another artist. If you're praising one artist, that doesn't mean you're sort of having a go or slagging off another artist. It's like the classic meme of, you know, someone on Twitter will say, I like apples. And somebody else will say, well, have you got a problem with oranges? Why do you hate oranges so much? And I think that's the thing. Just enjoy what you enjoy. I think it's particularly sad with the Prince and MJ community because, first of all, you know, they had respect for each other. They had like a friendly, I think, like a personally, I think like a brotherly rivalry sometimes. But ultimately, they're very different. And they both really, you know, just did their own thing and had respect for each other. When Michael Jackson passed, Prince, it affected him, you know, deeply. And there's lots of times when Prince hung out with Michael Jackson, but also it's just, there's no, you know, there's no animosity or rivalry in the sense of, you know, any dislike or anything like that or anything. I think it's just, you know, they're both big stars and the media likes to kind of do this thing. But it's just not a good use of time. Enjoy what you enjoy. Talk about the music you enjoy. All the time spent on social media arguing about who's the best. You could be playing music during that time. You could be listening to music and enjoying it. Talk about the music. That's what they both left us. Talk about that music because that's incredible. And you know what? You can't compare artists today and artists then. It's a different world. It's a different setup. And people enjoy the artists they like now and they enjoy different artists at different times and with streaming and various things. You can't compare sales. And even if you could compare sales, who cares? If someone tomorrow told me that it was all a big lie, that Purple Rain only sold, I don't know, 200 copies, it's just going to be mad. But say it did, I don't care. I love the music. It speaks to me and it moves me and it's got me through life. And it doesn't matter. So just with the Stan Wars, I just want to say, you know, celebrate Prince, talk about Prince. You know, there's no need to, I don't mean this directed towards the Prince community or the MJ community or other, because there's, you know, it's everywhere online. For every fan base, there's kind of these Stan Wars, but it's just, don't let it distract from what you love. Don't let it do that. As one of Prince's band members famously said about Aunt Esther, she's our inspiration for being consistently inconsistent. And keeping within that inconsistent idea, despite the fact this is Night Child uncut, unscripted, unedited, I will be including, because I'm completely contradictory, occasionally what I would call a retro review. It's a review I've done on YouTube. It's been sort of slightly edited and changed because obviously, you know, video format is different to the podcast format. So there might be the odd mention of video when obviously it's now a podcast. But on YouTube, you can use a few seconds of the music. Unfortunately, that's not something you can do on podcasts. But some of the topics I think I really wanted to get out there and to discuss, have other podcasts around them and discuss kind of various things. And also want to include, you know, some album reviews and a number of videos that we've done before and a kind of, like I say, a kind of retro review. But I really wanted to talk today about the kind of beginning of Prince, just a few early signs of his genius to come. And so I'll leave you today with a very, very short clip, 3 or 4 minutes, of Prince and the beginnings of genius.
A whole book could be written about Prince and his childhood. Clearly a number of events, both good and otherwise, shaped the person Prince would become. However, this video will just take a brief look at how his musical development and the choices and attitudes he pursued led Prince onto the path of greatness. It often seems that people assume that Prince's success was somehow already written from the start, and there is a danger that this denies the sheer hard work, dedication, smart choices, tenacity, and some good fortune this took. It also denies the place of the people around him who worked with Prince and helped Prince to mould his career from the very start. Prince always was an independently minded artist, imbued with great self-belief and confidence, but it is easy to forget that he was also a product of his family background, his experiences, and that he was influenced and inspired by the family and friends around him. Minneapolis may seem to some an unusual place for such an artist as Prince to bloom, but in many ways it made sense. Matt Thorne, in his impressively detailed book, Prince, writes that from his very early childhood to the present day, Prince has worked extremely hard, but still, he seems to have had a surprising number of people along the way who were not only prepared to help him with his ambitions, but immediately recognised the enormous talent they were witnessing. Thorne also notes that unlike LA or New York, opportunities in Minneapolis were limited, so working together to create a break for themselves made sense. Prince's father, irrespective of the ups and downs of their relationship, was clearly a source not only of inspiration, but also musical motivation for Prince. His father's jazz background and Prince's attendance when still only five at one of his father's concerts clearly left a mark as he saw a host of attractive women surrounding him as the audience screamed. At seven, Prince wrote a song called Funk Machine, and later another titled Sex Machine. Prince was already an innately gifted musician and played most instruments, flitting from piano to drums to bass to demonstrate a track to others. What was the band Prince was part of, which eventually became named Grand Central or Grand Central Corporation, played mostly covers. Original tracks were starting to develop as their confidence grew. One aspect of Prince's character that was already apparent was his perfectionism. After Pepe Willie asked Prince to join his band 94 East and the band recorded a series of five songs at the Cookhouse recording studio, Prince insisted on being let back into the studio to correct aspects he was initially unhappy with. This aspect of Prince developing and improving tracks over time is apparent when you listen to the various versions of the track For You. It is also apparent in other tracks, such as Soft and Wet. The combination of Prince's innate talent, a ridiculously dedicated work ethic, and a group of people who believed in Prince, such as producer Chris Moon, with whom Prince developed his studio wizardry, or Owen Husney, who developed Prince's mystique, propelled Prince forward. However, a number of clever decisions were also made at the beginning of his career. Firstly, the record deal that Prince entered into with Warner Brothers was absolutely crucial to his success. The three-album deal allowed Prince time to master creating a record and to wisely use the time to develop his sound and his stagecraft. By also, alongside Husney, negotiating a deal which allowed Prince to produce himself, Prince was making a statement. There was an initial resistance to the idea, but after proposing other producing alternatives, Prince and Husney stood firm. Husney also quickly realised that less was more with Prince, and he wasn't someone who enjoyed talking to press and reporters particularly, and so they made this reticence a true selling point. Prince was portrayed as an enigma, a mystery, hugely talented, a genius, but unknowable, aloof, different. These traits were clearly a part of Prince rather than something imposed by management, as Prince remains mysterious and always did. Whilst throughout his career Prince has given many interviews, they often pose more questions than they answer, and are philosophical and reflective rather than specific. All these aspects, the innate talent, the work ethic, the coterie of people around him, the smart and sometimes challenging business decisions, all became hallmarks of Prince's career. And whilst at this stage the true depth and height of his genius was still for the world to discover, if you look hard enough, several signs were already there in Prince. It was now time for Prince to show the world what he could do.